Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Real Life with Rich and Christ. This radio program is probably like nothing else you're going to find on the internet, or even on especially on regular radio, because the whole purpose of this program is the spontaneous life of Christ speak from in me speaking to the spontaneous life of Christ in you. And the reason the name of the program is Real Life is because that's what it's about. It's not about religion. It's not about tradition. It's not about status quo Christianity, what we see today, that really has no effect on humanity, if you really look at it. It's about what do I do as far as my relationship with God when it comes time to pay the bills and I'm freaking out and I don't know where the money's going to come from, and how do I deal with that? How do I deal with the loss of a broken or lost relationship? How do I deal with working a job for a lot of years and then all of a sudden becoming a victim of the recession and losing that high-paying job and having to go from making an income that was comfortable to not knowing if you're going to make it at all? Because that's what real life is about, and especially in the United States today. What's going on in our economy, and God is concerned about all of that. He's more than concerned. The Bible says that every hair of our head has a number to it. It's not just accounted for, it's numbered. That's how intimately acquainted with us he is. The only problem is, if we continue to listen to what Paul calls the different gospel in Galatians 1, 6, and 7, and Philippians 3, 11, and 4, Philippians 11, 3, and 4, the different gospel is the perversion of the truth. The truth is, Jesus loves you exactly as you are right now, and he couldn't love you anymore. And if you think you can do something for God in order to receive something from him, then what was the effect of the cross? What was the effect of the suffering and the cross? In Hebrews, it talks about the person who goes on trying to live his life minus grace and minus the cross, and it talks about them trampling underfoot the Son of God, counting as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant, and insulting the Spirit of grace. That's heavy-duty stuff. And so, as believers, we don't want to stay in kindergarten. We don't want to deal with what Hebrews talks about, the elementary things. We want to move on into maturity. And the only way as believers we can move on into maturity is to embrace the cross. Not the wooden implement that Jesus died on, although that has an obvious importance in this whole thing. But what Paul called the message of the cross, the message of the cross, which he said is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved by it, it's the power of God. And what is the message of the cross? Well, what was the message of the cross for Jesus? It was misunderstanding. It was rejection. It was abandonment. It was believing that people were going to stand by him, and the sheep was struck the shepherd was struck and the sheep scattered. It's David coming to the place where he believes the Philistines are planning an ambushment against them, and so they go out and they go to this place and they find out when they come back that all of David's family and his mighty men's family, they're all kidnapped. And now his mighty men who were standing next to him just hours before are accusing him. And that's where David encouraged himself in the Lord, because he had a real relationship with his God. And guys, we're not, this life is not going to get any easier. And this country is not going to get any better before it gets worse. And, it's really, in a strange way, it's God's plan that it happened that way. Because how else does the children grow up, except children begin to take responsibilities that go beyond childhood. The Bible says when you were a child, you acted like a child, and you did childish things, but when you grew up, you put away childish things. Now, we don't put away childlike things because that's true maturity. True maturity is absolute dependence on Christ as our life, period. But how do I go from walking in fear every day of losing what I have to coming to the place where losing my life to gain his life is the only focus of my life? Well, it doesn't happen overnight, for one thing. In 1983, I was prescribed a prayer by a dear brother of mine, because when I got saved, I came out of the drug and alcohol culture, and I really wanted nothing to do with religion, and still don't. But I wanted everything that God had for me, because as soon as I came out of treatment, as a brand new baby in the Lord, I started reading some deep teachers, Watchman Nee, Andrew Murray, Hudson Taylor, and so many more, A.W. Tozer, Jesse Penn Lewis. And I saw something in their lives that I did not see in everyday institutional Christianity. And that was that their life was Christ. They didn't have Christ as an addition to their life. Their life was Christ. Sink or swim, live or die, their life was Jesus Christ. And they weren't out for popularity, and they weren't out to appease men, and they weren't out to market God. They were out to freely give the freely given gospel that they received. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, I think it's 18, he says, what's my reward? Because my reward is that I get the opportunity to share this life of Christ with you. Just like, you know, I've been broadcasting from different parts of the United States over the last several weeks by the grace of God, because God has made a way for us to be able to do some things because we trust him every day as our life. And part of the reason I'm able to do that is because of this lady sitting right next to me, Joan Riley, who is our ministry partner. Last week we were broadcasting from Las Vegas, where Joan lives. Today we're broadcasting from Weatherford, Texas, where I live, but Joan decided to come with us. So we kidnapped her, and we took her with us for the last week. And Joan and Linda and I have what we call a three-stranded core. We believe it is a prototype for ministry today, for people who want everything God has for them. Because no man can do this as an island. There is no supermen of God. There's only one superman. His name is Jesus Christ, and all the rest of us are just containers, earthen vessels that he has chosen to reveal himself through. And so how do we get to that place of understanding that you know, to live is die, to live is Christ, and to die is gain? How do we come to that place where Paul said, counting all things as loss in comparison to knowing him? I had a lady last night ask me, you know, what about the, you know, I appreciate you shedding light on this whole suffering thing, but it looks to me like it's hell. And Cynthia, it is hell. But it's not hell in the way that the enemy wants to lie to you and say it's hell. It's really just the gateway to everything that you've ever desired. Because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And Janis Joplin had it right when she penned the words, freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Because when you realize that your life and everything about your life is God's, then what is it you have to worry about losing anymore? Including the relationships that are close to you. Years ago, I woke up in my bed freaking out about my kids because I was just married to my wife, Linda. We were living in California. My kids were in Florida. Their mother just married a crack addict, alcoholic, womanizing, scheming, conniving, lying pig, and my kids were living under the same roof. And roof is Minnesota talk. roof. And when I woke up in a panic attack, and I just screamed out, "My kids!" And God immediately corrected me. He said, "Whose kids?" And at that time, God gave me three words: release, rest, and receive. Releasing my life to Him, resting in the fact that He loves me without any conditional strings attached, and then being placed in that position to receive His life every second of every day. And God saved me with the passage in Matthew 6:34, "Don't worry about tomorrow, live one day at a time." And that's what this entire ministry has become. It's become God taking life. And through the trials and tribulations and the sufferings and the loss and the brokenness and the pain and the misunderstanding and the persecution, and bringing it down into the moment to where all there is only God, only now. That's what life is to me today. It's seeing Him right here, right now, as the one who will never leave me or forsake me. The one who says He loves me with an unconditional love. So I just want to, read in awe. Every week I try to read something out of my book. I wrote a book last year, and we tried to go out and market it until God said, "You can't market me. I'm not a product. I'm a person. I'm not something inanimate. I'm life." And He goes, "In the same way you received me, that's how I want you to give me." So freely we receive and freely we give. And this is a 31-day devotional. It's almost 200 pages. It's a daily reading because devotionals have played such a major role in my life. It's a daily reading of who you are in Christ, and that is you are rich in Christ. And that's the name of the book, not about me. And the subtitle is A Daily Discovery of the Untapped Power of God's Unlimited Grace. And for anyone listening here, and I know there aren't too many who do, because this message is really for those who have said enough with religion, enough with the try and fail treadmill, enough with trying to find my identity in anything but Him. It's damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, sink or swim, live or die. I'm going for everything God has for me. And if that's what you really want, then I want to send you a copy of this book for free. Our ministry wants to send it to you, not me. We want to send it to you for free. It's 31 days of life and life more abundant. And all you have to do is private message me at Rich Novek, N-O-V-E-K. Give me a valid mailing address with the postal code if you're parts around the world. We will send it to you. We will purchase the book. We will send it to you postage paid because we believe that it's more important you have this life in your hands than we have the dollars that come from it by putting it on Amazon. In fact, yesterday I was out to dinner with Joan, and we had a wonderful time. And Joan asked me about how are the books going on Amazon. I said, I don't even look anymore. I don't even know if they're being sold anymore. I could care less. And she could care less. Because last week we went to Chili's, and we sat down at Chili's because we are Christ in us in our form. And when we walked in that Chili's, Christ walked in there whether anybody wanted to know it or not, and we sat down and we were sharing and we weren't ashamed of what we were sharing, and the manager heard us. He came over and sat down and he started asking us deep questions. And he loves God, but he didn't have a clue what this deeper life was about. And I said, "I'll tell you what, Eric, I'll come by later on and I'll give you a book." And I sat there a few minutes longer, and Joan was talking to him, and Linda was talking to him, and they were sharing the deepest, most wonderful, Spirit-anointed truths you can ever imagine or ever find. And the Spirit just said to me, "You got books sitting in the van. Just go cross the name out of the ones that you put on there." Because I sent out some books a couple weeks ago, and I didn't know if I sent them out, so I signed them to the same people again, so I had doubles. So I just went and bought one of the books, grabbed the magic marker from the host, crossed out their name, put Eric's, and handed the book to them. And that's our ministry. Our ministry is to the highway and byway people like Eric and the couple in Highland that we were able to send just a little bit of money to, who were starving and who were sick, refugees from their home in Pakistan because of Muslim extremists who came in and beat their family almost to death and told them if they don't get up and get out of their house that they've lived in for a long time and where their livelihood is, they're going to be killed. And so now they're refugees in Bangkok. They can't speak the language. They can't work jobs. And so God impressed on us to give to them. And now they have food for a couple of weeks and they have rent. And God is ministering life to them moment by moment. God is working in them and revealing to him, now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? He's showing them that his love for them is unconditional because they didn't have to go out and earn it. They didn't have to beg for it. They didn't have to tithe. They didn't have to show up at the church every time the doors were open. They didn't have to open their Bible. They didn't have to pray. All they had to do was show up where God was, and God ministers life. And I wrote an article last night, Broken by Him. Because until the bread was broken, Jesus wasn't able to distribute the bread to the multitudes. Because that was a symbol of Him sitting there, the bread. He wasn't able to be distributed to us until He was broken on the cross. Until He willingly laid down His life and took that place that was His calling from the foundation of the world, which was to die His death so we could live His life. I got a few minutes left, and I want to read one chapter out of my book. This book that you can have for free. And this is not a pamphlet. This is not an e-book. This is a soft-covered book that I'm going to sign and I'm going to send to you, and you can have for the rest of your life. And it's a powerful book that can change your life, not because of me writing it, because of Him writing it through me. 33 years I've watched God take me to the end of all things, and now I see Him as my only source and my only life. So let me read this. It's called A Necessary Crisis. The true testing of our Christian faith includes a necessary crisis. And what is a necessary crisis? A necessary crisis is not just your run-of-the-mill crisis. It is, in fact, a crisis like we've never experienced before. It's a crisis that brings us to the place of bearing in our bodies the death of everything that we hold dear, things we may be placing our trust in addition to Christ, things we think we've released, but may secretly serve in addition to our relationship with Christ. No man can serve two masters, Matthew 6:24. That's where Jesus says that you have to have the single eye, you have to see Him with a single eye of faith, because if you're looking at more than Him, then you're walking in duality, and you become a house divided. And when you're a house divided, you walk in confusion and open yourself to that in every evil work, every evil double-minded work. If you've not read Matthew 6:24, I would really encourage you to do so. So we need to ask ourselves, how serious are we about forsaking all to follow Him? I can assure you, He is very serious. And if we are serious about forsaking all, then we must be also willing to let Him have free rein in our lives concerning the things we might still be attached to, the very things our lives are centered around. Without an identity, a person is not a person. And our identity is what personalizes and distinguishes us from everyone else, every other person. All of the things that make up life are included in our identity. In order to experience life as God created us, we have to find our identity in Christ alone. But in order for this to happen, He will systematically touch everything we rely on in addition to Him as our life, This is what Paul discovered as the mystery of his life. This is the revelation of not I, but Christ. The journey to maturity, which also includes God's determinate personal sufferings. And if you don't want to share in his sufferings, then you won't be able to share in his glory. The glory he wants to reveal in and through you, not only for you, but for others. True Christianity is discovering the ultimate identity crisis and then realizing there's only one true person, Christ, in the universe. And that is in him we can find our true identity. And as we endure the testing of our faith, though it is painful, we discover it is also the best thing that could ever happen to us. And what I mean by the testing of our faith is that we're the vessel, branch, temple, that he lives in and through. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said in John 15. So when I'm talking about our faith, I'm talking about his faith. His faith in us, the faith of the Son of God, it talks about in Galatians 2:20. So let me say that again. It says, and as we endure the testing of our faith, which is really his faith in us, though it is painful, we discover it is also the best thing that could ever happen to us. If you're looking for the real deal, real, I love it. The following passage from the Psalms is a perfect example of what real Christianity looks like. Bless our God, O peoples. Give him a thunderous welcome. And don't we do that? Don't we go in our churches every Sunday and praise him and bless him and thank him? But look what we're thanking him for in this verse. Didn't he set us on the road to life? Didn't he keep us out of the ditch? But how did he do this? He trained us first. He passed us like silver through refining fires. He brought us into hard scrabble country, which is prison in other versions. Pushed us to our very limits. Road tested us inside and out. And finally he brought and took us to hell and back. Don't want to forget that one. Took us to hell and back. And finally he brought us to this well-watered place. Psalm 66:8 through 12. That's the Message Bible, by the way. That's real Christianity, guys. If you want to know what real Christianity is in a nutshell, look at Psalm 66, 8 through 12, and you'll see the different things that God takes us through in order for us to finally let go of life we call our life. And how dare we call our life ours when we were paid for in full with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Ransomed. Ransom means there was a kidnapping. Somebody kidnapped us. Darkness kidnapped us. But God bought us back from darkness, and he paid for us in full with the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we are free. And we're not only in free, but we're free indeed. We're free with an exclamation point. And that's what the suffering is. That's what the message of the cross is. That's what foolishness to those who are perishing. Paul's not talking to unbelievers. This whole book is a love letter to the people of God. Unbelievers can't get this. This is a book with words on it and pages. Unless the Spirit infuses it with life. It's the only difference between any other book in the Bible is that the Bible is infused with the life of the Spirit. And what I just shared with you in Psalm 66, that's real Christianity. That's embracing the cross. Foolishness to those who are perishing. Well, think of the fruit on the branch. If it's not nurtured, if it's not cared for, if the farmer doesn't come along and fertilize it and take care of it and prune the branches and all the things that have to be done to that fruit tree, it won't bear fruit. It might bear fruit, but it won't bear much fruit. And Jesus said, my goal for you is that not only you bear fruit, but that you bear much fruit. And when was the last time you saw any fruit tree of any kind eating its own fruit? He's got to take us to the end of all things us. And that's what this radio program, and that's what our ministry is about, and that's what the book is about that we want to send you. That's what our speaking engagements are about. And guess what? If you want us to come and speak, we do it for free. If you want the book, we do it for free. If you want life coaching, I coach you for free. Because freely I've received and freely I give. Because it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. That's our life. And any other message that omits the message of the cross, you run like hell as fast as your feet can take you. Because it's the lie. It's the lie that wants to keep you from having everything that God has for you. That same prayer that I prayed now 30 years ago, Lord, bring me to the end of myself and give me a revelation of who I am in Christ. And that Roel Vollema, my friend from the Netherlands, has prayed recently because he said, I want everything God has for me. And then after that, he qualified it with, it's going to get interesting from this point on. And Roel, it is going to get interesting. I hope I'm pronouncing your name right. Because once God begins to touch what's at the center of our life, and he takes what we're trusting in and what our life revolves around, and he begins to push it out to the peripheral to where he is our life, life will never be the same. Watchman Nee says, we'd like to have death and resurrection within an hour of each other. More than likely, it's going to be a certain amount of time. And he goes, and then it's going to look like everyone around you is being blessed and used, but you yourself have been left out. Looks like you've been set up on a shelf and forgotten while everybody else is blessed and used. He goes on to say, lie quiet, all is in darkness, but only for a night. But it must be a complete night. That's the death. That's the dark night of the soul. But then, he says, afterwards, everything is given back to you in glorious resurrection, and nothing can ever be the same. In 1 Peter, it says, after you have suffered a little while, he himself will perfect, strengthen, and establish you in him. Guys, that's the issue of suffering, and like every program, nothing is planned. Nothing is canned. There is no preparation for this. Christ, as my life, is speaking to you in the deepest. Christ in you is your hope of glory. So I want to pray. Father, I thank you and praise you, God, for the opportunity. Lord, just as Paul said, what is my reward? Only to preach. Only to share this wonderful message of freedom. And God, I thank you, Lord, for the people that might be listening. And I ask God, your life to them, Lord, that they might see and recognize and consider and gain insight. That everything you're doing for them, God, comes by your hand and your hand only. In Jesus' name, amen. This is Real Life with Rich in Christ. I'm here every Wednesday at 9:30 a.m., and it's all about being real. You guys have a good week. God bless you.